Good evening, everyone. I call the October 17th, 2022 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. Foley. Mr. Gephardt.
Here.
Mr. Howe.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser. Mr. McElroy.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Sinapi. Ms. Travis.
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Foley, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and our still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Good evening, everyone. We are now under general communications. I have a few. I do want to say there are two big topics to be discussed this evening. We still have the ordinance committee, and I know there's a number of individuals that are here for that. And then we also have a public hearing, which I know a number of individuals are here as well. So after we finish general communications, I'm going to ask my colleagues to make some adjustments to the agenda so we can make sure everybody gets an opportunity to speak on the items that and hear the items that they're here for. So also under general communications, I just want to invite everyone to a ribbon cutting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. At the Sawtooth Municipal Building right across the street here. That is where all the municipal offices are now. It's a beautiful building, so the public is welcome to attend. Early voting starts on Wednesday, so if you have any questions, the Board of Canvassers will be open, and you can start voting on Wednesday of this week. And my final announcement is starting on November 1st, there's going to be a changing of garbage pickup. So if you were getting your trash picked up on Tuesdays, you will now get your trash picked up on Fridays. And if you were getting your trash picked up on Fridays, you will now get your trash picked up on Tuesdays. There's going to be letters going out to the individuals, the households that will be affected by this change. The mayor did a posting on his Facebook page explaining the situation, but we do want to make people aware that will start on November 1st. Are there any questions or any general communications from members of the council? Okay, hearing none, what I would like to do is we just finished Finance Committee. I would like to go call the Ordinance Committee to come back in here, have the discussion on what's in the ordinance agenda, and then pause after that's finished, pause that, and then go right into the public hearing. So is there any objections from members of the council on changing the agenda? Yes, so we would, after we finish ordinance, we just have to land use and public properties would convene quickly to move it to a full public hearing. So is there any objection from members of the council to changing up the agenda this evening? Hearing none, the ordinance committee will now take place. Thank you.
Ordinance will convene at 7:16 p.m. First, we have acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on September 19th, 2022.
Move acceptance.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 6-22 sub B, an ordinance regulating the use of automated license plate reader technology. This would be for a second passage. Does the committee have any comments or questions? Councilman Ricks.
I've previously commented on this at length. I don't intend to repeat all of my comments from the previous meeting. I think that it would be better time spent members of the public voicing their opinions on the matter. I'll just briefly say that along with the reasons that I mentioned at the hearing earlier this evening on this flock technology camera system, I think that there are some serious Fourth Amendment concerns when it comes to these ALPR technologies, as well as we as a city council have to keep a couple of things in mind, in my opinion. First, that the Fourth Amendment is the bare minimum. We are allowed to give our citizens greater rights than what the Fourth Amendment provides as the bare minimum. Second, I think that this city council needs to really strengthen this currently proposed ordinance if it is going to enact it and follow through with the purchase of ALPR camera technology, because there are several different issues here that the ordinance does not address to my satisfaction, including potential penalties if the ordinance is not followed. If we don't have proper penalties or enforcement built into the ordinance, then what exactly is the penalty if the provisions we do have aren't followed? Is it going to be a slap on the wrist? I also would want to see more in terms of disclosure. How many instances and when is this data being shared? Without getting into all of those details that I raised more at the previous meeting, those are my comments and why I will be voting against the current version, sub B. Although I will say that sub B is certainly an improvement over the two previous versions, and would like to thank the committee and the council for their work to try to get this moving in the right direction. Whether we've reached that point or not, I don't think that we have reached that point that we should be satisfied with the current language. Thank you.
Any other members of the council wish to comment or have any questions? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. If you would allow, I would prefer to reserve my comments until after we hear from members of the public.
Alrighty, do any other members of the council have any comments or questions? All right, any members of the public have any comments or questions? I think someone's coming down, so I'm just going to wait. All right. So please, when you get to the mic, just identify yourself for the record and then have at it.
Yes, sir. Hi, my name's Meg Potter. I'm a resident of Warwick, a homeowner, and a registered nurse. And I want to thank you for allowing me to speak on this important issue. I'll start with just saying that I oppose both the purchase and introduction of these cameras into our community, largely on the basis of my libertarian principles, which suggest to me that the individual is the ultimate minority and that these are a flagrant disregard for individual rights and that they ask citizens to pay for their own surveillance by their government, which makes me very uncomfortable. The other thing is that I want to say is that our state and our town are in the midst of a lot of upheaval. We're arguing about a lot of really important things. The governor recently signed another state of emergency. Our town is fighting about schools. We're really divided. And I just don't see what is the urgency right now of making this purchase and implementing this new technology in Warwick. So I guess that's my biggest question. Why license plate readers are controversial in general is because, and this is according to the ACLU, the information captured by the readers, including the license plate number, the date, time, and location of every scan, is being collected. And as a result, an enormous database of innocent motorist location information is rapidly growing. This is the kind of thing that makes citizens nervous. They're already nervous. We're struggling. We don't have a lot of money. We have a lot of mistrust in our government, and I'm, again, not sure if the level of unsolved crime in Warwick really rises to the point where we would want to spend this money and enact this new legislation. So thank you for listening, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
My name is Chris Barker. I'm a citizen of Warwick. I would just like to ask the council, what recourse would the city of Warwick have were these flock cameras struck down as unconstitutional in light of the Fourth Amendment, as there is a case pending? I would also ask, we are the fifth safest city in the country, per WPRI.com. What is the net gain of these cameras? And does it supersede an invasion of privacy of every person in that camera's view? Thirdly, doing some research, there was a randomized controlled trial in Vallejo, California, found that 37% of all ALPR hits from fixed readers and 35% from mobile were misreads. That sets up a situation where an innocent person can be accosted and treated as an armed criminal over a machine making a mistake. Other than that, I would ask, again, please mind the Fourth Amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any other members of the public have any comments or questions?
Once again, my name is Barry Cook, 109 Namquid Drive. I just want to say that the last time I came, Councilman Ricks has suggested, and I think he might have mentioned it this evening, that it'd be a good idea to wait to see what the state legislature does regarding regulation of these cameras. So again, I want to support his suggestion and think it's a good idea. Several other comments. After having observed some comments and listening to the people testify and reading what I've read, it seems to me this is a situation where we have a solution seeking a problem. In other words, as a young lady mentioned just a minute ago, I'm not certain that we have a problem in the city of Warwick that requires us to make this immediate investment without doing all of our research. Again, I want to point out, Councilman Ricks has stated that the flock people are not the only people that provide this service. There are others that provide similar cameras and similar services. So again, I don't see the need to rush into this. The other thing is there's a trade-off, and I think the young lady mentioned it. The trade-off is a loss of privacy. So from my observation, once again, this is a solution seeking a problem, And what's going to end up happening is people in the city of Warwick and people who come through our city are going to suffer a serious loss of privacy. And quite frankly, the way I understand the system can be used is it can actually track people. So in other words, it could track my behavior, where I go, where I stop, where I spend my money, where I bank. That may not be the intent of it. My bottom line is I think this should be postponed and further work done to seek out other bids and firm up the ordinance and resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who wish to speak on this? All right, and Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. First of all, I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for all of the work that you put into this. I know you've put a lot of time into this. You've worked very diligently towards improving position on these flock cameras. But having said that, I still stand firm in my opposition to them for all of the reasons I have stated over at least one meeting. And in addition to that, we've had only two members of the community appear before us this evening. And I think each one of them made some very good points. Particularly important is the comments that Councilman Ricks has made once again this meeting, his comments regarding constitutional issues, the bid process, etc. I know at a meeting, comments were said that, quote, I trust the police department. For me, this isn't about distrusting the police department. It is important to realize that technology changes. We're being presented this innocence of it's a license plate reader. It's not going to have facial recognition and voice recognition, et cetera, when in the documents that we have, it clearly states that that equipment has the capabilities of doing this. Now, at some point in the future, we all know the current mayor, the current colonel, the current city council, we are not going to be here. There's going to be changes. And what we're being asked to do is approve policy. And then this policy will be finalized and sent to the Board of Public Safety. The current Board of Safety, or I should say the makeup of the current Board of Safety, could change tomorrow. That policy that is either approved or not approved by the Board of Public Safety never comes back to us. I have not heard testimony that convinces me that the capabilities, the incredible amount of capabilities of this technology cannot change or will not change. I also want to reiterate my desire to request that this committee, and I'll put it in the form of motion again, that this committee listen to the comments or hear the comments that I made at the last meeting, which is Representative Solomon had introduced legislation in the General Assembly, had spent a lot of time working on that, and the committee came very close to agreeing on language. He tells me that it wasn't quite there and it didn't materialize. He also tells me that he fully intends to introduce similar language, perhaps even additional language to the original, in the House of Representatives this coming session. So I think for us to jump into this thing now, as well intended as these amendments are that you have proposed, Mr. Chairman. I think for us to jump into this now, where clearly this isn't any life-threatening emergency that needs to be happening this moment, to go through this exercise for not, and the General Assembly expound or expand on what you have proposed here, it doesn't make sense to me. In the 10 years that I've been on the City Council, there's been numerous times when various makeups of the council, and again, this council has changed significantly since I first got on this council. It has been said oftentimes that we should not take a position on this item because the General Assembly is taking up this item and we should wait and see what the General Assembly does and what they come up with for state law. Ultimately, they're going to have the say. So for those reasons, in addition to everything else that I've testified to, I'm not going to bore everybody listening to those details all over again. I'm going to respectfully request that this committee make a motion to table this item until the General Assembly takes action on the legislation that will be considered. And that's my request.
Do any other members of the council have any questions or comments? Any members of the public have any questions or comments? All right, as far as any motions, we can consider any amendments or motions to hold once it's before the full body. That way it's before all nine of us. I don't see any need to expound upon what I've previously stated, other than to note that there's been somewhat of a spree of car break-ins in the city as of late, which is concerning. And having more defense against that rather than less would certainly be ideal. Additionally, us passing anything tonight in no way impedes the General Assembly from action on their end. And obviously, any action by them would supersede any action by us. So, regardless of whether or not we pass or do not pass anything tonight, the General Assembly's legislation, should they choose to introduce and pass it, will take precedence. So, that being said, I move approval.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
All opposed?
Nay.
So this will go to the full council for consideration. Next, we have two items left, but if I'm not mistaken, we're going to pause so that we can move to the public hearing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there's a number of people here that are here for the public hearing. So if we could pause the ordinance committee, quickly call the Public Safeties Committee, which will just come in here and move it to the full floor, and then we can start the public hearing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 7:35 p.m. First up, acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on August 15, 2022.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
One item on the docket, that is PCO 20-22, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Premier Land Development Petitioner, Assessor's Plat 322, lots 167, 168, 169, 182, and 183, 1795 Post Road. Councilman Howe, this is in Ward 3. Would you request a public hearing?
Move public hearing.
All right, we have the request. Do we have a motion to open the public hearing?
Move to open the public hearing.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. And move to adjourn meeting at 7:36 p.m.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. So I'm just going to give the council members a minute to sit here. So we are now going to go on our agenda. We are back into the full council meeting. We are going to go under reference business, number one, PCO 20-22, which is the public hearing. So what we're going to ask is if there's someone here to present on behalf of this project. We will hear from those individuals. Then I will ask for any members of the council and then the public if they would like to speak in favor of this project. Then I will ask if there are members of the public or members of the council that would like to speak against this project. And then a third time, I will ask if there's anyone that would like to speak on the project for or against, just to have their thoughts on the record. So that's the map that we are going to go with tonight. So at this time, I call PCO 20-22, committee report, public properties.
Move to open public hearing.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman Howe, and Councilwoman Travis. All those in favor of opening the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any oppose? Any abstentions? Okay. Hearing none, we will start the public hearing. I am going to ask that each individual who speaks, please speak directly into the microphone. Identify yourself for the record, and please speak as slowly and clearly as possible. We have a stenographer here this evening as well. So good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President. Honorable members of the Warwick City Council, for the record, Attorney K. Joseph Scacci, representing the applicant tonight, DNC Holdings, LLC. If you would indulge me for just a moment, I'd like to get the engineer to put the easels up, and so I put a site plan, the public can see it, and the council can see it. It'll take 1 minute, Mr. President. While he's doing that, I would like to take the council through a brief history of this particular property and the permitting process. Can you open it up, please? And thank you, Len. With me tonight, I have Dupreet Engineering. I am waiting for Mr. Paul Bannon, and I also have Mr. Ed Pimento, land use expert, all here to answer any questions that the council, the public may have. Watch the other side too, both sides. Let me show them the plan. That's good. So this is the old Carvel ice cream, which has had many reiterations, became the office and Ozzy's Burger at one time. I don't know the order of it, but it was a short version, a public nuisance, and ultimately closed. My client purchased the property. And then he is under contract with RIAC to purchase the land in the back that is owned by RIAC with stipulations for a zone change for commercial zoning, which would allow my client to redevelop the site into what we're proposing, which would be a financial institution and another retail use. The project, as you see today, and you should have application in your packet, it has received a favorable recommendation from the planning department and has received planning board approval. The application before you tonight includes an addendum dated August 17th, which is part of the application, asking for exemptions to landscaping, screening, dimensional regulations, etc. It's all part of the application. I just call that out so everyone understands it. What we're proposing, I'll turn this around to show the council, because I know that the public has seen this. We've had numerous meetings. But what we are proposing is this back parcel here with the red line be left open space in perpetuity and would deed restrict it as well. We are offering it to the city or a land trust or whoever wants it. If not, my client will own it. Continue to own it, maintain it. There would be a restriction on there. There could never be any building on it. This would allow a buffer for the neighborhood, and this would allow for extra landscaping and green space. the rest of that parcel would be used for parking, a drive-through for the financial institution, and landscaping. The project still is going to require planning board approval. Preliminary approval, we still need to obtain our DEM underground storage approvals and our DOT physical alteration permits. I'd be happy, that's the gist of it, to call upon Len Bradley from Dupree or somebody from Dupree to go through any of the fine details on it. And then I'm not going to call him tonight because he has submitted a report. The report is part of the package, but Mr. Ed Pimento was here to answer any questions that the council or the public may have. But I'd like to call Len Bradley from Dupree or Dana, one of you two, whoever's going to come up. This plan is slightly different than what was presented before council. We have increased the open space from what the planning board saw slightly, and it's more open space. We actually shrunk down the land that we're going to use for the commercial development in the front and changed the lot line so there'd be more open space. Len, why don't you just simply explain to the council, identify yourself for the record, and just please give your Rhode Island PE number as well.
Thank you, Mr. Shikachi. For the record, my name is Leonard Bradley Jr. I am a registered professional engineer, the state of Rhode Island, registration number 6610. I've been practicing engineering in Rhode Island for over 30 years. I'm currently a principal at Creed Engineering. I'm going to turn the board around, if that's okay, if it suits the council. So as I'm sure you're aware, the site today is a combination of existing development along Post Road, which is the Carvel site. The building sits generally center mass where we're proposing parking, and then there's open space, wooded area behind it. That's a subject of the zone change. So our development proposal would be to raise the existing building, to remove the existing pavement and completely rebuild the site and develop a new building, which would house a bank and prospective office or retail use. So the bank is located on the south side of the site. The prospective retail use would be on the north side of the site. Today, there's two existing driveway entrances off of Pell Ave and off of Guilford. Our proposal would be that we would close the Pell Ave entrance completely. We propose a new intersection, a new driveway opening at the intersection, and we'd redesign and close up a portion of the Guilford Ave to make it much narrower to restrict egress from the site. We've already had preliminary meetings with DOT on the new entrance. At this stage, we would still have to do further engineering and further design. As Mr. Shikachi indicated, we'd have to get approval from DOT in the form of a physical alteration permit application. But the notion would be that our main egress would become this new driveway off of Post Road. From a circulation perspective, because of the proposed bank, there'd be a drive-through window behind the building. So we have a counterclockwise one-way circulation for customers to basically come in, circle around the building, and go to the drive-through tele windows. There's also an emergency bypass as well. So anyone that decides that they need to bypass the bank tele window, they can go around and not get caught in the queue. There's still a lot of engineering work to do, as typical at this stage of the project, but the site will be designed to comply with the city's land development ordinances, as well as the Department of Environmental Management stormwater regulations. So we envision a combination of above ground and below ground drainage systems to handle the stormwater from the site. So there'll be no increase in stormwater off the property. onto abutting properties. We'll also be designing a lighting plan to make sure that the site is properly lit, but not be a nuisance to the neighbors, and we'll comply with the city's ordinance on lighting as well. So,
can you explain the difference in the open space?
The increase from the planning board decision to tonight, please?
Certainly. So this red line you see on the plan is a proposed lot line. Today, this property is made up of multiple lots. We're proposing to merge them together and create two lots. One would be the lot for the development, which was on post road side of the site. The other would be on the west side or the rear side, and that would essentially be an open space lot. So that red line is the proposed location. We will be installing a fence on the retail property, the bank property, which would be set probably about 10 feet off of that property line. There'll be additional landscape buffering as well, so that you have a visual barrier there between the open space, the neighbors to the west, and our development.
Thank you. If anyone has any questions for Mr. Bradley, and
thank you.
Through the president, I believe there is a question.
Hold on, please. I'd like to get the planning director to weigh in on their comments, and then I'm going to go to Councilman Howe first as the councilman.
Good evening, City Planning Director Tom Kravitz. I always introduce myself. Tonight's the one night I didn't do it, and you had a comment about that. So, I agree with everything I've heard. The one thing would be the ownership of the property. When, you know, getting comment from DPW, it's difficult to maintain the things, the open spaces we need to maintain now. So it was the planning board's desire to keep the property in private ownership with the open space restriction to keep it open space. That would be what the planning board wants. That's what they're going to ask for at preliminary. But otherwise, it's entirely accurate.
Thank you, Director. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening. I would like to state that this process, and I want to give my colleagues a very brief history of the process of this property. As we're all aware, that is the infamous Carvel site, right at one of the busiest intersections in the state, adjacent to the busiest road in the state, Airport Road. In an area zoned for commercial and zoned for an airport. In 2017, when I first was sworn in onto this council, one of the first meetings I had to do with, then after Carvel, it became a restaurant slash bar. That restaurant slash bar had extended hours, as you can imagine, because that is the purpose of a restaurant slash bar. There were some issues with the parking. So a comment was made by me off the cuff where there was the residents and the owner of the bar having disagreements. And I said, well, wouldn't it be nice if we could have a bank put there? And I remember one of the residents specifically saying, boy, I would absolutely love it if a bank was put there. Oh, wow, that would be great. No more one in the morning. And, you know, fast forward. And also the property behind was what we thought was RIAC at the time, or I thought was RIAC, was owned by DOT, as was mentioned by Mr. Sicarchi. The area behind there was just this blank space. So both the FAA authorized RIAC to put that property up for auction, and DOT authorized it too. And then, of course, the owner of the Carvel site also sold his. So the two auctions, which was identified in the paper also, were put up for auction, and they were purchased. I would say some time ago, the conversation started between the planning department, the developer, and the community. And I can tell you that we had a public meeting that I couldn't attend because I already had a previous engagement with a mayor attended, and he explained the process of the planning department. We also had a meeting in the city hall that the mayor that we hosted, the mayor, myself, the planning director, and where we sat down with residents of the community to discuss the concerns and explain the process. This project has gone through the entire process through the planning department. I strongly believe that the community has been heard, the neighborhood has been heard. The fact that a business is purchasing both lots, and as we heard the Dupreet Engineering state, as well as Mr. Sikarchi state, they are leaving an area that one of the specific asks of the community was to have an open space, and the developer is honoring that. And the developer is also listening very carefully and honoring the traffic challenges that go with a business being right on one of the most busiest intersections as well as busiest roads. I have to commend the planning department, the developer, as well as the outreach by Mr. Sikarchi, and I commend the community for being involved. This was a long, tedious process, but definitely everyone was listened to. The process was done correctly. I commend the fact that we're going to see an area that right now is an abandoned building with a chains going on their parking lot and a weeds growing through their walls and weeds growing all on the side of the property. The fact that we're looking at this getting redeveloped once again in a high visibility area of Warwick is amazing. And I think that if you look at the best option for that zoned business area, that zoned commercial area of a bank, you can't ask for better. And so I want to tell my colleagues that this long process that started in 2017 and even before that, when it was a bar, it's come a long way, and that was from the work of all the players. And I am very much for this development. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Sikarchi and Mr. Kravitz.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. And this is a very Rhode Island project. We keep calling it the Carvel site. It hasn't been Carvel in how long? But
20 years.
Councilman Sinapi.
So I definitely would love to see this site put to use. I'm quite tired of it being dilapidated. My main concern is traffic, given the area already and given the proposed design. But that being said, there are stipulations directly on the traffic. So one way or another, my concerns will be addressed either later or as a result of the project not going forward. So I don't have any issues.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Sikarchi, I don't know if you want to answer the question or one of your colleagues. How large in square feet is the entire parcel?
I'll defer to the engineer, Len Bradley. I believe it's on the plan, which should be in your packet, but we'll give you that information so everybody can hear it. I think it's about 1.5 acres, but let's wait for the engineer.
1.5
it is.
So use around number 65,000 square feet, something of that nature. And how much in square footage has been allocated with the additional space that you've included? How much square footage does that encompass?
Can you be a little bit more specific? You mean how much is the open space?
The square footage beyond the red, from the red line up.
Okay, just a moment. About 7,800 is open space. Size roughly a residential lot.
So
I'm sorry, I'm being corrected here. Do you have a number? We added more. That was the old number. We added more to that. It's being 12,000 of that.
So the reason I've asked those questions, as a business person, when I make an investment, I make that investment predicated on my anticipated returns. What the value of that particular item is today, what can I do with it? Can I make money with it? Can I make money with it? And typically, when you make an investment, you've got a certain anticipation of what that property is going to be able to produce for you, what the costs are associated with that property, et cetera. To say that this location in its current, in its previous forms, has been just an embarrassment for a very, very long time is an understatement. Certainly not being utilized to its potential. Now, what I'm hearing is you have a developer, business person, buys this piece of land and is willing to donate, in a sense, donate close to, somebody tell me the number, it's about 18% of your square footage to open space. I doubt when this developer, and I have no idea who this developer is in terms of knowing this person, company, whatever, but I would doubt that when this business investment was made, there was an anticipation of donating or losing or isolating 18% of the use of your investment. That, to me, is very, very important in the decision that I'm going to make towards this particular property. I think in perpetuity, committing 18% of your investment to open space, to be a good neighbor, to be a partner, to be willing to negotiate and compromise, and essentially not asking anything in return, I'm very comfortable with that. And for those reasons, along with other simple business principles that I have, I will be supporting this. And I think it's a very good concession by this developer. I know I certainly wouldn't want to give away 18% of one of my assets. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Speaking from my own experience as chair of the Public Properties Land Use and Community Affairs Committee for nearly the last 4 years now, and 2 years on the City Council before then, we've seen a lot of different developments come up in front of us for review. Otherwise, in my life, in my day job, I've represented developers on occasion, and I've also represented neighbors who are opposing or objecting to developers' proposals. So I have seen both sides of a lot of different projects that some are more similar to this than others. I'll put it that way. When I take a look at this proposal in its totality, and from what I know about the site itself, from someone who's lived in Warwick for pretty much my whole life, I believe I got a birthday cake or two from the Carvel when I was a kid, and I certainly went to the restaurants there on occasion when it was a restaurant. I remember attending at least one event there where I was driving through the neighborhood, found a place to park that I didn't think was obstructing anyone. And then as I walk out, I still get the dirty looks from the neighbors. And then after that, I ended up parking across the street and making my way across Post Road to get to that location. Suffice to say, it's not an ideal location for a restaurant or high volume traffic. I suppose before I go further, a quick question for the record. As of the present time, if hypothetically the applicant were to change their minds and not proceed with this, would they have the right under the current zoning to have some sort of restaurant, fast food sort of establishment at the present location?
There's a lot of hypotheticals there, but I'll give you my best shot. I think that they could, in theory, reopen the present structure as a type of a restaurant that it operated before that sold food and liquor. I don't think they can expand it. I don't think they could change it. They could not put a drive-through. They couldn't do a lot of things there, but it could reopen it, in theory. I would probably defer to Mr. Kravitz and the city. And that's only from a zoning perspective. I have no idea what the fire codes are or the safety codes. I don't pretend to be an engineer. So, but from a zoning perspective, they could reopen a similar type facility. Not that anyone would want to or should, but in theory, that those rights still exist there.
Thank you. And that's something that I would generally agree with too. It's not something that anybody is proposing or anybody wants to do here from everything that I've heard and everything I understand. But when it comes to land use and private property rights, I think that that's something that we all have to keep in mind is if this property can't be used for the new proposed use, then what exactly is the alternative? Because when we are talking about private land, commercial land especially, there is an expectation that the property owner is going to make money from that land. And so in light of my previous experience, my familiarity with the area, though certainly not nearly the familiarity that Councilman Howe has, I think that this is really an outstanding compromise here. It's an outstanding proposal. Councilman Lattiser had brought up about how this 12,000 square feet dedicated for open space, that's a significant share of the total property there. And I can only imagine what some of the other alternatives could have potentially been, whether that's a matter of plopping down an additional house or additional commercial property. That's something that obviously we don't have to get into now, because having that 12,000 square feet of open space is clearly a benefit to the neighbors and to the city compared to really any other alternative for that 12,000 square feet of open space. This has obviously been a very long road to get here. And as someone who has some experience, some background in this area, I would have to commend the planning director and planning department, our city councilor, Tim Howe, and of course, the applicant and their team for, I can only imagine, I was not there for this this process. I'm just here reviewing some of these documents and these stipulations at the tail end of all of this. But seeing where it ended up, it is just really impressive how much the applicant has been willing to be flexible in order to come before us, the city council, tonight with something that I, for one, would be comfortable with.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council have any questions at this time? Okay, we're going to open it up to members of the public. The way we're going to do this is we're going to ask people if they'd like to speak in favor to come up first. Just line up, and the Sergeant of Arms will help you at the microphone. Then we're going to ask if there's anyone here to speak against. And then we're going to ask if anyone would like to speak on the topic one way or the other, or just have their thoughts be on the record. So Is there anybody here this evening that would like to speak in favor of this project, PCO 20-22? Is there anyone here to speak in favor of this project, PCO 20-22? Is there anyone here to speak in favor of this project, PCO 20-22? Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak against this project, PCO 20-22? Just take your time and come on down to the microphone, and the Sergeant of Arms will set you up, and all you have to do is identify yourself for the record.
Hello, my name is Barbara Vieira. I live on Guilford Drive. I'm like two houses down where this development is going on. I moved here in the early 90s. The houses were already gone. There was two houses that were on the Pell side that the airport took down after they did their soundproofing. It was a promise that they were going to keep that land blank, not do anything with it. They've been very kind, keeping up with the mowing of the lawns and all that, kept everything nice. And now I find out, this is my first time I've received this. I've seen people meeting on the block down there. I've been involved with two groups of people finding out that this is going to happen. I'm not for it. I'm totally against it. I'm not happy that the airport did this. And then they just sold the land for really a small amount of money. You're talking about, oh, we're getting 18% of this little bit of property that they're donating to us. I think it's crap. I'd rather see it become houses again. I know years ago there was a plane that crashed there, and that's why the airport bought the property. They took that promise away. They sold it to really cheap money to some developer, and now they want to put a bank there and take all that property away. I personally rather see it become houses again. I want my property value. For what they're doing, and they keep changing what they're going to do there, I'm not for it. They have the parking lots to come out in front. The intersection's already a mess. And then they're going to have it on the side where Guilford Drive is. Nothing on Pell. Just on Guilford Drive, coming in and out. It's already a mess with this man's company, the window place. It's already hard for them to get in and out, along with our own traffic. Now they're going to have more traffic coming in and out of that intersection. It's hell in the wintertime with the snow and everything else. I'm not for this. I'm totally against it. I'd rather it stay the way it is or put homes back there. And that's what I have to say.
Thank you very much. Next up, just please identify yourself for the record and speak right into the microphone, please.